This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening and welcome to the Well-Being Report on WDIY. This show is co-presented with the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and discusses the vital conditions essential for people to achieve thriving. As we move through 2026, we're continuing our exploration of belonging and civic muscle in action, the vital condition at the heart of what helps communities not only function but truly thrive. As always, I'm pleased to be joined by Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health.
Thanks, Margaret. Great to be with you. So we're doing something a little bit different this year. Last month, we opened up the year with a powerful two-part conversation with Dr. Bobby Milstein, where we explored why belonging and civic muscle is the connective tissue around all seven vital conditions for health and well-being. So when we talk about this, it's sort of the glue that keeps it all together. And so this season, we're really focusing on belonging and civic muscle and all the different elements of it and the ways that we can support it through the work that we do in the community. But today, we're turning to a framework, to a practice that embraces the intentionality behind belonging and civic muscle. So I'm excited for our conversation today.
Yeah, so our focus today is going to be on integrative community therapy, or ICT. It's a community-based approach that centers lived experience, shared wisdom, and collective healing as essential ingredients for well-being.
ICT is a conversational methodology created by Adalberto Barreto in the 1990s to offer community services in the favelas of Brazil. From Brazil, it then went to grow and be used in over 30 different countries across the world, but never actually in the United States. The title therapy is a little bit of a misleading title, which we'll talk a lot about today, because it's really about an innovative conversational methodology that provides a safe space to target key issues and foster meaningful relationships to both reduce isolation and create solidarity networks. As we started to think about well-being within the Poole Institute for Health's work, we knew that we often hear that we need more mental health services in our community. But as a non-clinical group, we knew that we couldn't really solve that problem exactly. So as we started to think about going more upstream, which is what we're often, you know, looking at when we talk about the vital conditions, what are the precursors or the signs of mental distress that we could begin to address before it rises to the level of needing mental health services? That's obviously not a solution for everyone, but I think we often hear about social isolation, social connection, need for more social support, coping skills. And so we started to think about what models were out there that could help us strengthen that piece as a protective mechanism or a preventative approach around mental well-being. So my former executive director reconnected with an old colleague out in Pittsburgh, Dr. Ken Thompson. He's a psychiatrist who has worked in the community and through federally qualified health centers for many years. And he had just found this model. His daughter had gone on some travels and had learned about this model in Brazil and went and saw it and came back and they started to think about how could they bring that to the U.S. And so around 2020, they started to think about that translation from the Brazilian model to the U.S. culture and what that could look like and how could they support that translation and implementation here in the U.S. And when we started to look at it, it really had a lot of elements that we were looking for. It was solutions oriented. It was proven elsewhere. It created social connections and fostered resilience. And it was also not clinical. It's peer-led. So there was a lot that we thought was worth exploring and seeing if it could apply here in the U.S. And so or in the Lehigh Valley in particular. Here in the Lehigh Valley, ICT is taking root through a partnership. So we started to do this not just as the Institute, but in partnership with LVHN, now part of Jefferson Health, and a group called Awaken Pittsburgh, which is our partners in Pittsburgh who are actually doing the trainings here in the Lehigh Valley. And together we started to explore what it would mean to train people here. And we started with one cohort and just said, let's see how it goes. And our guests today were both part of that first cohort. And now I'm happy to share that we've trained over 20 different organizations in this model, and we've had over 100 rounds run within the Lehigh Valley. So we are the first health system and community to really be sort of blanketing the community with our approach and how we're training. So we don't want people just to be trained. We want them to actually implement and think about all the different locations where this could be helpful. That's some of the pieces that we'll get in today as we look at how this is unfolding here in the Lehigh Valley.
Wow, I didn't realize it was three, the third cohort. I was in the initial, there was an event
Yes.
at the Dime or
Yep.
the Renaissance where you were presenting this idea to the community and it hadn't quite taken off. And I didn't know that it was this far along. That's amazing that it's in our region as well.
Yes, yep. Our speaker series was our way to sort of introduce it. Dr. Ken Thompson was the speaker with Adalberto Barreto, who first formed this
Yeah.
model. And so that was
Right.
our way to say, like, here's this thing that we can think about. And yes, now we are three rounds of trainers into that and seeing it sort of grow here.
So today's conversation isn't going to be about theory alone. It's about what happens after the training and how ICT is being rolled out now that people have been trained and how skills move from the classroom into real communities, workplaces, and relationships.
Help us explore that. We're joined by two guests who are part of our first cohort and are now mentoring newer ICT trainees. Missy Wise from United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley and Richard Dick Orleman from Lehigh County. Both have not only learned ICT, they've implemented it within their community and are helping others to do the same as well.
Yes, thanks for being here, Missy and Dick. And just to give a little bit more information, Dick Orleman is an experienced public sector leader serving as the Deputy Mental Health Administrator for Lehigh County. This is a role he's had since 2010. He has decades of expertise in mental health services and is dedicated to strengthening community well-being. Missy Wise is a social worker, facilitator, and community advocate committed to empowering individuals, families, and neighborhoods throughout the Lehigh Valley. She currently serves as assistant director at the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm going to start with you. In my opening description of ICT, I used a lot of words like reducing isolation and solidarity network. But if we can get down to sort of the basics of it, I'm sure there are many listeners who are hearing about ICT for the first time. How would you describe it in plain language?
Really, it is connection through conversation. It's a space where people can share their experiences, share their challenges, but also share their knowledge and their resources. It's where people can come together, they can find that connection and that support. They can feel a sense of belonging, know that they're not alone in some of the struggles that they're facing.
One of the things I love about it is that it's really just addressing those everyday stressors, right? We describe it as, not the things that are necessarily that you wouldn't want everyone to know, but things that we all go through, whether it's parenting or finding life balance or losing a job, losing someone close to us, these things that we as humans all experience on a daily basis.
I was going to say in ICT, we call that the pebble in your shoe, right? What's that thing that's kind of just irritating you, kind of just causing you that stress and bothering you? And how can we find a way to talk about it and share that and find then solutions, which in ICT we call pearls, right? Those wisdoms that are shared amongst the participants, whether it's actual tangible resources or just that support and knowledge of connection.
So, Dick, how does ICT compare to other group-based models or models of addressing social isolation and daily stressors?
It's a model where the group heals the group. It's not in a traditional group therapy model. You have a therapist who's trained, who's gone to undergraduate, graduate, and sometimes even onto a doctoral level where they then become licensed and go through a whole process. We, with ICT, utilize facilitators who go through 60 to 200 hours of training in learning how to facilitate a group and actually become part of the group. And by doing that, they enable the group to heal the group. It's not a clinician who's a professional telling people what to do. The group has the answers within itself, and people actually become their own therapist. The other advantage is that it can happen quickly. You don't have to wait for an extended period of time to get in to see a therapist. You don't have to wait for that. And studies have shown in Brazil, and hopefully we'll reflect that here as well in the United States, that over 80% of the people who become part of an ICT round or an ICT group never go on to get a higher level of therapy, that they become connected with each other and have their needs met at that lower level. As Missy was saying, the pebbles in their shoe kind of get taken care of at the level of an ICT round.
Absolutely. Missy, what about for you? So at United Way and through Resilient Lehigh Valley, you're leading lots of different trainings, and I know you're trained in lots of different models as well. Why has ICT been complementary or additive to those that you already knew about, and what's been appealing about it to you?
Yeah, so I think first being able to, in my role at United Way, serve as kind of the backbone and help to be able to coordinate this effort has really been great. It's been able to strengthen our partnership with the Leonard Parker Poole Institute and LVHN. It really supports the mission of the United Way to create belonging and thriving, and specifically around the work of Resilient Lehigh Valley, as Dick just said. It builds healing and resilience for people, for groups of people, for communities of people, for individuals of people. So it really is supporting the work that we're doing in that vein. And when we think about being trauma-informed, right, that's really understanding the impact of trauma and that trauma impacts our bodies, our brains, our behaviors, our relationships, but also how do we heal from that? And this ICT really gives us that space to be able to help create that healing. So we can acknowledge that trauma, but we can also really focus then on those pearls and that resilience building.
So we said earlier that this year's theme on our show is belonging and civic muscle in action. So Missy, how does ICT actively create a sense of belonging, not just talk about it?
Yeah. So in ICT, it's not just something that you come and you listen to somebody speak at you and share content with you. You are participating in a round, you are engaging in an experience. And so even the framework helps us to set up that sense of belonging. We share our celebrations. We share our challenges. There's music that is incorporated and movement is encouraged, whether that's dancing, whether that's through some sort of dynamic or mindfulness. Hugging and clapping and all of those things are incorporated into the round. So those are naturally ways to help people to be able to connect. When we do rounds, we sit in circles. Right. So again, a natural kind of way to help people to connect and see each other and be vulnerable in those spaces. And from that experience of the round, they can take away that, you know what, I'm not alone. They can take away feeling seen, being heard, right? And so that's a little bit different than just coming and talking about, yeah, we want to create belonging and this is where belonging happens. But ICT creates that space for it truly to happen. And when people walk away, they walk away with that sense of belonging and that connection. And that's why they come back, because they feel that when they leave and they want to have more of that. And so they return for other rounds.
Reinforce that, Missy. Part of what Missy and Dick and everyone who's leading these rounds does at the end is have the facilitator complete a survey as well as the participants. So we are trying our best to keep track of the impact of this work over time. And of those who have participated in rounds, 94% report that they felt a sense of belonging or connection, and 89% report that they gained coping skills that they will be able to apply elsewhere. Does that sound right, Missy? Does that resonate with your experience in running the rounds?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Dick can speak to this as to, well, and it doesn't even matter the size of the round, right? I've been in rounds where there's two or three people, and I've been in rounds where there's 30 or 40 people. And that sense of connection is there throughout, right? We just recently started to do rounds at Active Life. And so we're kind of building it and growing it. But even if one or two people are showing up, they're walking away saying, hey, like this was worth me coming to. This is worth an hour of my time. I learned something, I gained something. And so that really supports that data.
One of the cool things that we've seen happen is that you've been able to run some rounds in Lehigh County Jail. And that experience has been really wonderful to watch that grow and to see your experience there. Can you describe what belonging feels like in those ICT circles, what you're seeing there, and how does that compare to more traditional meetings or service meetings?
As Missy was saying, there's many components to an ICT round, from movement and dancing and singing. that we don't necessarily do in the jail just because of the environment. And we're working specifically with men in the jail, and mostly men who are black and brown men. So it's an interesting group in that they're, if you look at it statistically, they're the people who are least likely to seek out therapy. And these are men who come together, sit in a circle, and have become vulnerable. They're sharing really intimate details about their lives and getting connected. The men have said the power of the group, they look forward to the group. It's the highlight of their week. Men have said that they will remain now isolated from other men in their pods just because they recognize they don't want to go to certain places and get involved in certain things. So they stay to themselves and they look forward to coming to an ICT round that we hold weekly because it gives them the opportunity to connect and to talk to other people. So it does reduce isolation. It can de-escalate conflicts in the sense that the men learn to communicate and open up and talk about things. We've had some tense moments, as you can imagine, with men sharing, but then they're able to talk to things. They learn from each other. We've had men that have gone on to state prisons and write to us and are saying, I want to stay connected. I want to be part of a healthy community. And when I come back, I'm going to be part of this process. And doing that, the jail has recognized the value and just reached down and said, could we add another ICT round to the jail, specifically for inmates who have lost a family member, loved one, while they've been incarcerated because of the restrictions on not being able to attend a funeral or having to do it remotely and the grief group. So we're looking at getting two other people who were trained in the second cohort together to have them go into the jail and work with those individuals. And there was an individual who left the jail and went to a drug treatment program, and during the intake process said, hey, do you guys do ICT here? I did it in the jail and it was really valuable for me. So we're looking now at moving ICT into a residential drug and alcohol substance use disorder treatment program. So it does have value. The men really seem to appreciate it. And it's interesting for me because I'm part of the group. They called me a dweeb, which I said is a handsome old white man, but I'm part of the group. I've been accepted to the group. And I think the reality is too, we're learning from each other that there are people on the outside that care about people who are on the inside. So it's really been a valuable experience.
One of the things you both have highlighted is that it can really fit in any context, right? And our approach when we started this was to say, where are there organizations where there's already a built-in community, right? Where there are already people being served, and this becomes an additive service to that. So whether it's active life, whether it's the jail, a drug treatment facility, Valley Youth House, the clubhouse, places where people already are. Just putting them in one place doesn't mean that they're connecting with one another, right? They often have one-to-one relationships with their staff person, their case manager, the person that might be providing services or connecting them to resources. And this can become a useful tool for then also building connections across people who are being served by the same agency. And so those 20 organizations that we talked about early on, you both are speaking to the different scenarios where this can be applicable, and how, we can spread it out throughout the community. The idea is not that it gets done just in one place, but that we do it in lots of different places and lots of different ways, and that repeatedly over time, that being available will have a collective community benefit and, build that collective resilience piece as well. And then I think the other interesting thing that I would love you both to speak to is this virtual versus in person. So this came about during COVID, right? When they first started to look at translating it to the US. We, through our trainings, have done some where our trainers have been virtual. You all do weekly virtual calls and rounds, and you've then done in-person ones. So it seems to work in both settings, but I know it's also been intentional about translating it into both scenarios. Can you speak a little bit to how that experience has been?
Yeah, I think the amazing piece of it is it works in both settings, right? That you leave, even on a virtual round, you still leave with that sense of connection and that sense of belonging, which is, I think, a credit to the framework that Dr. Alberto put together and how it does kind of facilitate that conversation and that connection kind of naturally. And so for me, I've enjoyed both of them. I think as the facilitator, I always lean more to in-person and enjoy in-person and having that connection, but virtual works, right? And when we think about wanting to make this accessible to people, virtual needs to be an option, right? There are groups that works best for. It allows for flexibility. So it's important to not just think about it having to be in person, because we've seen success on both ends.
Yeah, I think the connection is there with both. There are people that I've met and learned from and connected with, and there's an emotional bond that can be developed virtually. That then when you get to meet that person live and have that opportunity, it's like, oh my goodness. And I'm a hugger, so, which might annoy some people, but I will hug people that I've met. And there's a bond that's just there. It's an exciting opportunity. You know, we're all longing for community. We're all longing to belong. We're all longing to be accepted. And it really brings people together that way, and that the sharing and the openness of the ICT rounds. So it's either way is exciting.
One more cool experience I have to ask you both about, which has been that we held a round with some live music from someone from the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, which was the first time that has ever happened. And we held it at the Cedar Crest campus of Lehigh Valley Hospital. How is that experience for you? Different than anything you've experienced elsewhere? And what was unique about it?
The music, I could have, selfishly, you know, I could have just gotten into the music that was being played. Such a gifted artist, the artist in residence there at the Miller Symphony. But it was interesting. The one thing, again, you know, and the uniqueness in getting back to the jail, and not to harp on that, but the fact that we're having men coming out to the jail and wanting to participate, when we did it live, there was, other than me, there was only one other man there. So I would like to see more men breaking through that barrier and getting to be participating in the process. But I think having the live music was such a moving experience, and I hope we have the opportunity to do that again.
Yeah, I'm excited that it's looking like we're going to have that opportunity to do that again. And I think it was really powerful to be a part of. Music is a universal connector, right? For everybody. And doesn't matter the type of music, but it connects people. And so being able to have that live there was really just a really powerful experience. And so I think we've thought about other ways that we might be able to do that, thinking about local bands or local artists or students who have musical talent who might be able or wanting to share. So it really opened our eyes to see some creative opportunities.
Yeah, we've talked to, as an aside, Inkwell, where the director there is a visual artist and muralist. And we said, boy, we could do an ICT round at Inkwell and have him or other artists interpret it visually and actually paint something as the conversation's going on to catch the theme and the emotions that are being expressed. So we've talked to Kyle about getting that in place, and I'm hoping we'll be able to do that at some point.
I love that idea. That's amazing. We're almost to time, and I want us to talk about what's ahead. But just to close out, are there skills, specific skills that people that you've seen people walk away with after participating in ICT that they can use beyond the circle itself?
I think it's a good reminder about the importance of taking time to actually listen. Right. And make the time and the space and to put that active listening into fruition and into practice, because when we do that, we can really learn a lot. And I've seen people walking away with just different perspectives, different understandings, maybe even a more opened heart, open mind to some of those different experiences. And I think they carry that with them then into wherever they're going and whatever space they're going into.
And I would agree with that, that it helps to listen, to respect other people, to hear other people, to just get connected to other people. There's a health and a healing that goes on in that sense of being part of a community that I think, you know, is learned as part of ICT.
And I imagine it also, you know, helps build empathy for others and be able to sort of walk in other people's shoes or imagine what that might look like or feel like, which is really important when you're part of a community to, you know, be able to look at other people and say, all right, you know, they could be struggling just like me.
Right. And exactly. And that's the reality. And it's kind of that V8 moment where you go, wow, okay. And that Me Too moment of I'm unique, but I'm similar, that
right.
We all have experiences. And that's what draws us together when you get that connected and somebody shares a pearl that was referenced by Missy and you're like, wow, you know, that's the pearl is the covering of the pebble. And it's that you're sharing and it brings you together and saying, you know, I've had that common experience. I've had those common thoughts and we are linked together in community here. In fact, the guys in the jail look at me as an old white man on the outside and you develop that respect for each other. And so I'm looking at young guys with tattoos all over their face and respecting them and having them say, we know you care about us, which then when they go into the community says, yeah, there are people that care about you in the community who are dweebs. You know, there are people. So it brings the community together.
Takes the judgment down, right?
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah. Every round I've been a part of, I've walked away with either a quote or a book or something that you can then go explore too, which is the nice part. So you walk away with things that have been helped other people, and then you can, you know, sometimes you just hear that thing that kind of meets you right where you need it. So to wrap up with that piece, as we think about growing this in the Lehigh Valley, is there one last thing you'd like to put out there briefly around what you hope to see in the future as this continues to grow?
I think I just want to see it continue to grow. I want to continue to see the enthusiasm. I want to continue to see the positive responses and positive experiences, not just from the participants, but also from the facilitators. We've been able to see a lot of collaboration amongst the facilitators and their organizations, which might not have happened otherwise without this connection of ICT. So really just continuing the collaboration, continuing the growth and the enthusiasm for something that is new, but something that works. And we have the data and we have the experience to show that it does.
And thinking outside the box, I hope people that are hearing this will do that. They'll think outside the box and say, how would this benefit my organization, even a business, an HR director, to say, man, this is something that could bring my team together at work, or this is something that could bring people together in the community in a certain way, or at a church group or whatever, at a place of worship of any kind, that it would just bring the community together. So I think it's limitless, and I'm hoping people recognize that and will think about ways that we can help bring ICT further into the community.
Today's conversation reminds us that belonging isn't just a feeling, it's something we practice, and it's strengthened through relationship, reflection, and shared responsibility.
Yeah, thank you for this, sharing this, and really look forward to seeing where it goes. You've been listening to the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. I want to thank Samantha, Missy Wise, and Dick Orleman for being here on the show. You can always listen again at wdiy.org or on our app or anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcasts. Until next time, be well and stay connected.
This has been the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.